I want to look at the words that are written on the service sheet from Revelation chapter 22, verses 13 and 16. Now, what ties these two verses together is that these are both what the Lord Jesus says about himself. So we are now looking at two declarations that Jesus makes about himself. Let me read them to you. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." I guess you know, but the words Alpha and Omega, those are two Greek letters. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last. They don't go from A to Z. They go from Alpha to Omega. So that's what he's saying. I am that first letter and that last letter. And then the next verse is there. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you," that's all of you, it's plural, "to you, these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." So those are the words that I want to concentrate on this morning. Now, we've seen on a number of occasions that John himself and the churches were undergoing tribulation. Okay? That's their circumstances. The word tribulation means pressure or even oppression or even distress. So they were in trouble, and the book of Revelation tells us a little bit more about why they're in trouble. But I don't want to go into that this morning, you know that. But the fact is, they are undergoing tribulation. It's a shared tribulation. Okay? And it's in that situation that the Lord Jesus reminds them who he is. Can you see what's going on here? I think when we're in trouble, we tend to fix our eyes on the trouble. We tend to look at the circumstances around us. But the Lord is here calling the church, calling John, "Look up, look up." Okay? In fact, those words "look up" are words that Jesus himself said in Luke 21. You'll see them there if you read that chapter. He says to his disciples, "Look up." When I was a young boy, it was very popular in the church for people to use initials. Some of you will remember this. And one of the members used to say to everyone, KLU. Does anyone remember that? Probably KLU. What did that stand for? Keep looking up. In other words, keep your eyes upon the Lord. And really, when the Lord Jesus is calling them now to look at him, he literally wants them to think about him. And when you're looking up, so to speak, you're also looking at the future, looking at the coming of the King. So this is what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. He's saying, "Look at me." Now, can I say to you that if you read the whole Bible, that's always the answer. What I mean is this. Every time a child of God gets in trouble, the Word of God says the same thing to him. "Look at me." Do you remember Abraham? Abraham went through a bad time in his life. He was quite old. And he just had a battle with some terrible kings. And he got back from that battle. And he looked around and he thought, "Well, I haven't even got any children yet. Where is the promise?" And Abraham was struggling. Do you know what the Lord said to him? "Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." Can you see what the Lord's doing? Abraham, stop looking at those kings. Stop looking at the lack of children. Look at me. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, exactly the same. There was a dismal year when King Uzziah died. Oh, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. Well, he saw the Lord because the Lord was revealing himself to him. It's as if the Lord of hosts, the Holy One of Israel, says to the prophet Isaiah, why are you looking at King Uzziah's tomb? Look up at me. Can you see what's going on? This is the dynamic of these words. Look at me. Look at me. Even the psalmist, do you remember Psalm 73? I love Psalm 73. The psalmist was in terrible trouble. He says, why is it that the wicked do so well, and I've humbled myself before God, I have sought his word, and I'm in trouble? Why? He said, all that was in his mind, what? Until I went into the sanctuary. To going into the sanctuary and putting your eyes upon God is, as it were, the tonic. It's the solution. It's the medicine of the soul. And this is what's going on in Revelation. John on the Isle of Patmos, those churches in that terrible time, saying, this is what you want to know. You want to know, Jesus says you want to know who I am. That's what matters. And this is true for all of us. What really matters is who Jesus is. Not who happens to be in 10 Downing Street or in the White House or anywhere else. But what matters is who he is, and he is on the throne. Okay, so that's what's going on here. Now, I want to draw your attention to four things that he says about himself. Four things. Okay, and this is not in order. But he says four things about himself. And these are things that he wants you and me to know. And this will strengthen us and keep us, okay, in all the troubles of life. Every single one of them. It will keep us if we know who he is. Now look, the first thing is on the last line there, where he says, I am the root and offspring, and so on. The first two words of that line are, I am. I am. It's very distinctive in the Bible. It's taking us right back to the burning bush. The bush was burning. Moses says, I've got to go and see why this bush is on fire and yet it's not destroyed. And the Lord spoke to him out of the bush. And he said to him there, he said, this is what you'll call me. I am that I am. That's my name. I am that I am. And Jesus is using that name here. If you read John's Gospel, you'll know that there are several times where Jesus says, I am. And he's not just saying this is what I am. He's saying, I am God. When he says, I am the light of the world, that's what he's saying. I am the light of the world. When he says, I am the resurrection and the life, he's using the same thing. And obviously, when he says, before Abraham was, I am, I am. So Jesus is here claiming the holy name of God. Make no mistake about it. You know, there are sects, there are plenty of sects that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe in his deity. Okay? Don't listen to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Don't listen to these Unitarians or any of them. They do not know that Jesus is God the Son. They are not Trinitarian. And that's what he's saying. He says, this is who I am. I am God. I am God. You notice he says in these verses, he says, I have sent my angel. Well, who can speak like that about the angels? You can't say it, can you? You can't say, I've sent my angel. That's not for men. He is above the angels. He commands the angels. This is the one on the throne of heaven. There's no bones about it. That's who he is. No wonder in Isaiah, the question is thrown out in these chapters. Well, to whom then will you liken me? Search in heaven, earth, wherever. You will not find one like our God. And we need to, even we who are believers, we need to, as it were, wake ourselves up and say to ourselves, do you know what we have here? We have the living God. He is our God. This marks out the child of God from the whole world. The unbeliever, the worldling, he can't say that. But the Christian can say, he is my God. And in that passage in Isaiah 44, one will say, what does it say? Let me turn back. One will say, I am the Lord's. It's the same, I am the I am's. Another will name himself by who? He'll write with his hand, the Lord's. Forgive me for that. The Lord's. He is recognizing that he belongs to the Lord. And if you're a Christian, that's what you do. You belong to the Lord and he belongs to you. Right? That's the first thing. I am. Then secondly, at the beginning in verse 13, he says this. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, we've heard some of those things before. Before we get to this verse, we've heard those things before. But I believe that in this verse, this is the only place where these three expressions are brought together. Okay? There's something distinctive about chapter 22, verse 13, where he uses, Alpha and Omega, okay, beginning and end, first and last, mean the same thing. And so he's saying, in three different ways, he's saying the same thing about himself. Now, whenever the Bible repeats itself, it's like printing something in bold or shouting it. It's underlining it. It's emphasizing it. This is what he's saying about himself. Now, we've already seen this morning by reading Isaiah 44 that Jesus is saying to John what he's already said to Isaiah. Okay? This phrase, the first and the last, and the other things, this phrase, the prophet Isaiah told us about this. And that's why we read Isaiah 44 verse 6. Look, he says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. These are amazing titles, right? He says, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Now, when Jesus calls himself the first and the last, and he's thinking in terms of history. He's thinking in terms of history. It's as if he's saying, before the universe existed, I was there. He says in Isaiah 48, it is, my hand laid the foundation of the earth. Okay, so right at the beginning, I was there. And the last, in another place, he says, I am with the last. What that means is that the end of history is in his hands as well. He's not like the kings of this earth who pop up for a minute and then are gone. He is from beginning to end. Now you can say, well, that's the eternity of God. That is his eternal nature. It is true, but it means more than that. It means that he's in control from the beginning to the end. It means there's not a moment in history which is not outside the government of Christ. And it means, and even more than that, it means that when he tells you what is going to happen, he knows. Okay? He knows the end from the beginning. This is a mighty claim. It's as if he's saying, the whole universe is mine from start to end. And it operates, it behaves, it goes, history goes by my command. Now, when Israel, this is in the Isaiah section, chapter 41, where you get these phrases again, when Israel found themselves in a time of great fear. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of mighty emperors, people like Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus. And Isaiah says, do you know what? These are mighty kings. They're fierce. And Isaiah then says, and do you know what all the nations are doing right now? Well, they're going and praying to their wooden idols. So all the nations are afraid of Nebuchadnezzar and the others, so they're going off to pray to their idols. What the Lord says to them? He says, you look at those mighty kings. He says, I did it. I did it. Those mighty kings are there because I put them there. I raised them up. And he immediately says to his people, you don't go after these foolish wooden idols. No. Fear not, Israel, because you put your eyes upon me. Listen to these words. Just one moment. Who raised up one from the east? He's talking about these kings. Who raised up one from the east? He says, I can't find it, I'm sorry. Can't see the words I'm looking for. Well, I'll read on from there, even though I can't find the words I'm looking for. He says, who has performed and done it? Those are the words, verse 4. Who has performed and done it? Listen, calling the generations from the beginning. He says, I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am he. And he then says to his people Israel, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to behave like the Gentiles, who go off terrified to beg their idols to save them. You've got me. You've got me. I am the first, and I am the last. And he says to them, he says, I'm going to uphold you. I'm not going to let you perish. I'm going to uphold you. So we have here our Lord Jesus' mighty claim. He claims to know all things. He claims that his sovereign command is our invincible security. You and I are absolutely secure. Why are we absolutely secure? Why do we have nothing to fear? I'll tell you why. Because Christ reigns. Some of you will probably remember from donkeys years ago, David Davis, who went to China, and he suffered greatly physically, was beaten and was in prison and all sorts of things. You know what he used to say, do you? I've told you before. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's what he used to say. That was his motto. In all those distresses, the Lord reigns. So our Lord is saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's what he said. And then he says in verse 16, look, now we're on the last line. He says, I am, but what? The root and offspring of David. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David. Now, we know that God chose David to be king. We know that. 1,000 years before Christ, the Lord chose David to be king. But when he chose David to be king, he promised him, he made him a promise. Right? And the promise concerned his sons or his son. Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem talking to the scribes and Pharisees, he asked them a question. And the question was, the Messiah, the Christ, whose son is he? Well, they knew the answer. Oh, he's the son of David. Then why does David call him Lord? Okay. How come David's son is greater than David? And that's what he's saying here. I am that promised son of David. Now that has massive implications. He's saying the throne of Israel is mine. The throne of Israel is mine forever. Not just the throne of Israel. The throne of the heavenly kingdom is mine. And my reign will never end. Those are the promises. Now these promises that were made to David concerning his son were so good, that the priests in the temple sang about them. How many of you know Psalm 89? Listen, this is a psalm written by Ethan the Ezrahite, a priest. He says this. He says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. So, and he quotes God. He says, this is God speaking. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build your throne to all generations. Jesus is saying here, that's who I am. That's who I am. You'll find me promised in Psalm 89. You'll find me promised in the promises of God. Your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. Read Psalm 89. It's full of the same great truth. So what Jesus is saying is, when he says, I am the root and the offspring of David, he's saying, I am the promised king whom God will establish forever. Forever. There is no end to my reign. No wonder we could sing earlier on, King of kings and Lord of lords. Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him. Now, fourthly, he adds the bright and morning star. He adds the bright and morning star. I read one commentator on this phrase, why does Jesus call himself the bright and morning star? And this commentator is quite recent. He says, nobody really knows. Nobody really knows. And he then gives about six or seven options. Well, one of them is Venus. I've never heard anything ridiculous in all my life. Venus? He says, well, Venus was a Roman god. Absolute nonsense. Nonsense it is. Let me tell you where this bright and morning star comes from. Well, 1600 years before this, there was a wicked prophet called Balaam. And you know, if you know the story, the king of Moab summoned Balaam. He was a famous prophet. He said, I want you to come and curse God's people. So it's really worth reading the whole story. It's from Numbers 22 to 25. Read that story. If you want encouragement, read about the life of Balaam. Anyway, he came to curse God's people. And he stood on a hill and looked at them, and all he could do was bless them. He couldn't curse them. Why not? Because God had told him, don't you dare curse my people. And the king who brought him said, what have you done? You've blessed them. I called you to curse them. But God turned the curse of Balaam into blessing. But when Balaam was blessing God's people, he said this. Let me read it to you. He says, I see him, but not now. Oh, who is he talking about? I see him, but not now. He says, I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall arise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab. In other words, this king will defeat the enemies of his people. Now, Balaam was foreseeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he calls him a star. But let me tell you this. When David, David had been promised this king. When David reached the end of his life, he said certain things. It says in 2 Samuel 23, Now these are the last words of David. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me." In other words, this is from God. "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me." Listen, "He who rules over men must be just or righteous, right? Ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, like tender grass springing up out of the earth by the clear shining after the rain." That's what lies behind this. It's as if Jesus is saying, do you remember what David foresaw? He foresaw one who would rule justly, and he would be like the sun rising, like the clear shining after the rain. He says, that's who I am. I am the bright and morning star. What is this morning star? It's the sun, of course. It's the sun that ushers in the day. This is the light after the darkness. This is the day after the night. Now, this phrase doesn't appear many times in the Bible, but Peter, in one of his letters, speaks about this morning star dawning in our hearts. And I tell you this, when Christ comes to you, when you receive him in your heart, it is like the blazing of a new day in your soul. Do you remember Charles Wesley wrote the hymn? "I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free." And that's what happens when Christ visits a man. When Jesus Christ comes to you and claims you, and you receive him by faith, it is exactly like that. The brightest sun ever is shining in your heart. That's really what it is to be made alive by the Spirit of God and united to Christ. This is the Christian experience. Peter speaks about it. But our Lord Jesus, it's much more than that here. You know, when our Lord Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," well, this is what it comes to. This is what it comes to. He is saying to you, "I am coming to you like the sun in the morning. I am coming to end the darkness. The day is mine." No wonder John says, you won't need the sun or the moon in that day. This city of God doesn't need the sun or the moon. Why not? Because we have the light of God and the light of Christ. And he says, and there'll be no night there anyway. Where Jesus Christ comes, all is light, all is life. The darkness is dispelled, the rain is gone, the sun shines. Now then, let me say to you as I close, all that Jesus has just said to the churches here, and I've related that to you, all that he has said, right, is true. This is the truth. He says some in that chapter, he says, write these things down. This is the truth. Okay. But let me say, this is a true view of life. If you think about your own life without thinking about Jesus Christ, you've got the wrong perspective. Okay? It's all about perspective. We have to. When you think about your life, you must think about Christ. Okay? If you're in trouble, things that hurt you, concern you, think about Christ. Okay? If life is going swimmingly, right, living the dream, if you're living the dream, right, even still, think about Christ, because he is better than any dream you might be living, okay? And that perspective, Jesus wants the churches to be thinking about him, because he is coming back, right? We're going to see him. This is not just going to be words on paper, this is going to be reality soon. Right? And he wants you to know what's ahead of you. Think about it. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the root and the offspring of David. He is our King, and He is our light, the bright and morning star. What does Scripture doing to us? What is Jesus doing? He's saying, "Behold your God." And this must be in the heart of your faith. Are you a believer? Can you say this morning, "I have faith"? Well, right at the center of your faith is your God. You believe in Him. You believe in Jesus Christ, the Saviour. That's what Christian faith is. It's not vague. It's not weakened and vague. It is clearly focused on the face of Christ. Look, if you and I live by this rule, we will be different people. We will be different people. May God grant us to know His Son better. Amen.